Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us on this very special broadcast. We're airing live from our home city, Nashville, Tennessee. And we're beginning to embark on a citywide tour to roll out information about a very important thing, and that's parent empowerment. You've heard us talk about that on our previous show at the beginning of the year. And that's where we are now. We are focusing on how we can give the authority in the parent the power to the parent and their authority. There's long been this societal notion that professionals somehow understand best how to provide and cater to the needs of children. Well, that's a misnomer. And the truth of the matter is that only works when you find parents who struggle to know about resources and opportunities. And I'm convinced that the more they know, the better they are. Grateful tonight to have with me one of our team members for the parent outreach campaign here in Nashville. It's Markeisha McCullough, who will be talking with us tonight. She's a parent as well. Of course, we all are parents, but we're grateful to have her on our team, and she's going to be sharing with us. And you can give us a call here, right here in the studio, at 657-383-0944. Again, that number to call is 657-383-0944. We're happy to join you. Nashville, if you listen, you follow us on live stream or Facebook, feel free to post your questions or your comments and join us here, and we'll be happy to gather you. We have a caller from Selma, Alabama. Give us a second call. We'll be right with you. Give us a minute to get through a little brief monologue here. And for that purpose tonight, this is not our usual time. We usually air from 7 to 9, but because of this special rollout, we're airing here from Porto Public Library here in Nashville, Tennessee, and this special is an hour and a half from 6 to 7:30. We'll be doing this every Tuesday night for the rest of January. And as we mentioned to you, we're very deliberate and focused about giving parents information that they need to make the difference for themselves. All right? So with that being said, what we're going to do is we're going to shift for a second, and Facebook, we want to turn your attention to a video. This is a video it's based on a real life story, and I believe that is a documentary now that's out on Netflix. And it's a very powerful story about a woman who found need to find resources to save her son's life. Turn your attention there for a few minutes, and then we'll open up our phone lines. We'll get right to our discussion here tonight.
Ms. Walden, your son's situation is very serious.
He's
a good kid. He's suspended, effective immediately. Next
time,
he will not be a next time.
There are three of them coming for me next time.
School, juvenile hall. You have got to choose. Oh, heaven and earth for you, good friends.
I'm going to borrow $7,000 for school. I'm going to go home. No problem, man. You just don't qualify.
So what if we have to do us?
He needs to change today, not tomorrow, not next week. Definitely not eventually. We've been waiting. I'm done.
Her? When you said...
I did a lot of things. I'm a politician for what you did.
So that was to those rival.
Well, I want to do that too.
You have a better chance of winning the lottery than getting better.
On behalf of the parents of Washington, D.C., I present to the petitioner the rules of clearing for the home. This is a movement, actually.
This is Sally Ray Show. Please join me in welcoming Jake Walden.
Might just be for me.
You are going to do right by the thousands of kids in Washington, D.C.
for Walden's Council.
I have. So you cannot, you will not, deny our children the right to life.
All right. So I stand corrected. This story is based on a true story out of Washington, D.C., as opposed to Memphis, Tennessee. But it's real. And it is relevant to our discussion tonight, and what we want to do is open up our phone line, and anyone that joins us here on our location, feel free to join in. But we have, again, McCullough, who we're going to speak to, and I believe you may be able to identify some of us. That's a great story. It's a powerful story, but Nashville, Tennessee has its own story. And it's important for us to realize that the interest is not on the government, on adults and their livelihood, but it's about safety on children. The question is asked, if your child falls into a 10-foot hole, how much is it worth, or how far would you go to save them? And I believe that all of us will move heaven and earth to do so. So welcome, Ms. McCullough. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing good.
Good. We got a caller, but we'll come to you. Let me just welcome caller out of Selma, Alabama, and we identified by your last 4 digits of your phone number. That will be 8474. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us. If you bear with us for a second, Ms. McCullough is going to talk to us a little bit, and feel free to join in the conversation. If you have a question for her, feel free to raise that question, and we'll kind of go from there in that format. Okay. So, Ms. McCullough, tell us a little bit about your story. If you had to make a video, make a point, what would it be?
My video and the point I would make would be the importance of being available for the children and having time for the children, whether we're full-time, part-time, temporary, seasonal, very, very important to always make time to know and identify those who are around your children on a daily basis.
You know, I've been told many times that you're not going to always be around your children, but I would imagine that even for you, the point is you realize you won't be with them 24/7. But you have some plans, you have things in place to have a safety plan for them, manage your time and things like that. In terms of resources, Does it matter where they come from?
It does not matter where they come from. The only thing that matters is about where you go. And all that matters is your children always have that confidence that when they leave that house, that they're going to come back to the house with more knowledge, more education, more.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times people are concerned that it's about politics and dollars, you know. And I guess I get that. I was a former candidate running for office. But what I found out is that more than anything else, constituents, citizens, they want the best. We have some local issues here, as you know, in Nashville. We were talking earlier about some of the current events with young people caught up in the juvenile justice system. And, you know, it's kind of bad. It's sad to watch the news. But I'm of the opinion that being sad and down about it is over. Time to do something. And there's no better time than now. So when we talk about parent, the natural voice of authority for a parent, what we're doing is building families and communities, Missions Incorporated, is partnering with a national organization to educate parents about options, about opportunities, about resources, so that they can choose how that's best for them, what's best for them and their children. A lot of times, without pointing a finger of blame, children get lost in the system. And at the end of the day, they want to be found. They want to be happy. They want to be successful. And they don't want to be the casualty of this war and so forth. You want to speak to that a little bit?
I do. First things first, children are going to be children.
Okay.
Children, they're going to ask tons of those questions that their parents not answer. They're going to be curious about things that you tell them they're not do. However, it's our due diligence as a parent to protect them, to, we don't have the proper education to educate them, find the resources to educate them. It is our due diligence to keep them busy, make sure that they're active. It doesn't necessarily have to be sports.
Okay.
You can keep them active in household chores, they help out with independence, active in whatever. You know, they're interested in kids now these days, they like to rap. And
okay.
I find that
okay.
A lot of kids that I've worked with personally,
mm-hmm.
rapping and just hearing their creativity
mm-hmm.
and hearing, you know, the interest, the curious interest in them, I find that right there, just rapping,
okay.
it gets out a lot of frustration and
mm-hmm.
anger. And it helps in the stress.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Nowadays, it's happening. Now, back in the day, I know we have a lot of older parents, and some parents, you know, moderate age, and you have the young parents. I think that we need to stop stereotyping based on that category,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of the day, we're all of parents.
Okay.
And all of our ultimate goals is just to raise our children and to protect our children. And if everybody can get on board with that alone, we can save a lot of children.
Great. Wow. Well said. Well said. Okay. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And tonight we're talking from the topic, natural voice of authority for children. And that is their parents. The natural voice of authority for children. Their parents. If they're not there, how do we get them to that role of being the natural voice? We go straight to the phone lines. Out of Selma, Alabama, 8474. Welcome, sir. Question or comment thus far?
Today, Mr. Dockery, what you have in today's society today, within our community and within our family, you got the mothers going against the fathers, especially with our boy children. And then when you have that, then the father can't give instructions to the boy child that would lead him to being independent economically. A woman can't teach a boy how to break ground. A woman can't teach a boy how to frame a house. unless she out there framing or breaking ground. So that's what I see in today's society. Since the 60s up to now, the system, and then, like you said, it's one parent. The young man is not getting the skills that they need from their fathers so they can be economically independent and self-sufficient.
Sure.
That's what I
think. And, you know, I know Ms. McCullough has two beautiful daughters, and, you know, it's important for them as well that we focus on their specific. And, but you're absolutely right there, Carla, that it's important that we, the family, be whole. Okay? That's one of our mission. It's part of our mission is building families and communities. We have to revitalize and empower people that have children work together. Sometimes you may not live under the same roof with your children, but you have to work and be amenable with their mother and work as their parent in their best interest. That's the most important thing, I would think. Well, thank you for that. We're joined by a caller here in Nashville, Tennessee, 5489. I think that's our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. Let's welcome in Pastor Waller. Welcome, Pastor Waller.
All right. Thank you. How are you doing now?
Mighty fine. All right. Great. You've heard some of our guests and our panelists here tonight, Ms. McCullough. Question or comment on anything thus far?
No, I was actually just listening, and I appreciate whatever they have to say, you know, that a person can have a chance to say a little something about it. You know, I often listen, and then I can do a lot better when it's time for me to say something in it. And when I tuned in, I heard you say something, and you was talking about the parents, how to be able to be in a relationship with them, even if they're not under the same roof. And I wanted to say, how easy is that to do when it comes down to that? You know, because you have to interfere into whatever it is that's going on unintentionally. You know, they may have a standard of how they live over there up under their roof, and then the other parents up under another way of doing things up under their roof. So if you're able to come together, it would be wonderful. But how easy is that to do? How can that be done? With an open mind, I would like to say, you know, I would like to believe that that should be the number one thing. Other than that, it may be a little bit difficult. So I like to continue to hear about that, you know, about that portion of it. It is possible now because the Word of God does say, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So it's not impossible that it should be something that can be worked out.
Great point. So we'll go right back to Ms. McCullough. I hear often people say that, you know, there's no perfect.
Definitely great. Parents, they do not know the frustration. But one thing that all parents should come with is one full love, faith, and understanding. A lot of parents give up on their kids quite quickly, and a lot of parents see themselves in their children, which scares them. I mean, it petrifies them. I mean, me myself, I look at my daughters and I'm scared because I know that it's me. However, I also know what I've overcame and what I had to learn, because at the end of the day, life is just the biggest thing. And we have to go through some experiences to kindness up into a diamond in oil. A diamond is not a complete diamond. It gets burned, sometimes cut, and so forth. And that's how our children are. We have to teach our kids that no matter what, and I teach my kids that no matter what, you do not hate. A lot of these kids talk hate very, very early. And it's not right. When I hear these callers call about, well, what if this child stay over here with this parent, and what if this child, that's showing your child hate. You must show your child love. You must show your child, okay, well, this man may have done these things to me and ma'am, the tragedy or whatever, however, this, at the end of the day, this is my child's father, and we made this child as one, so we need to come together as one. And I've had to practice what I preach, and it's not been an easy thing.
But it's
doable. It's absolutely doable. It can be done. A lot of African-American communities specifically, we don't like to hear you need counseling.
Mm.
We don't like to hear anybody speak to therapists. But Israel is, and it's real. And just therefore,
Mike, that's an interesting thing, because as a pastor for now 24 years, that is true. And if people tell you that, listen, the Lord knows, and I'm going to take it to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I would certainly say that there's nothing wrong with trusting God. And perhaps one of the things God would do is encourage you, just as if you cut your finger, go get it bandaged up, right?
Right.
And certainly medical science has advanced in psychology and psychiatry to the point where there are serious issues. And I'm concerned that within the, particularly the African American community, probably other communities, but certainly African American community, there's a stigma that goes with it,
mm-hmm.
right? Mental illness is real. And I know that transcends race and gender. Mental illness is real, and we see that connected to a lot of the violence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there are different causes and different reasons for it. It factors into homelessness, things of that nature. So certainly, without going too far into that conversation, it's a very relevant, worthy of discussion there. Let me go to the phone lines there. Don, there out of Pastor Wiley, either you have anything you want to comment on that last thread of conversation?
Mr. Doctor brought up a good point. And Pastor Wiley, you want to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you just brought up a point. I've been working with Mr. Chestnut. Mr. Frank Chestnut is the first cousin of J.L. Chestnut, who was the attorney getting folks out of jail when they were doing the right to vote here. And he's got a beauty shop and a chemical, you know, where he makes hair products. And he was listening to the ladies talk here in Selma that are school teachers. And what's going on in Selma, you got all these old houses here, and they go house to house to rent. And so he was hearing the teacher talk about that. So the young generation is coming up now. The economics is so bad within the urban area here, they moving house to house. So the child is constantly moving here. So he's not permanent. And the teacher brought that up. So I was just listening to you talking about the homelessness of a child and where a child needs to have a stable home so where he can really, you know, get into the school system, he, you know, to get the proper education he needs and the attention that he needs.
Yeah. Okay. What about it, Pastor Wilder there? Were you going to say something?
No, as I said, I was just really actually listening, so I want to continue to listen for a moment and just,
okay.
just hear some of the things I'm looking for. When it comes down to parenting, I'm still right there for a moment.
Okay. So we listened to the video promo there of the Lady Virginia, and again, this is a Netflix deal. You can find it on Netflix or YouTube, Miss Virginia, it's called. And was that realistic? Is that applicable here in Nashville?
Oh, it's definitely.
Oh, is that just the made for movie? I mean, talk to me. How real is it?
It's so real. I can relate to it. Okay. So I'm sure. This year was the first year our kids ever got into a fight. And they was expelled. It wasn't a suspension. It was completely expulsion.
Mm-hmm.
I was petrified because at the end of the day, you also want to teach your kids to stand up for this. So in this scenario that I'm specifically speaking of, my kids stood up for themselves. Me as a parent, I am proactive in everything that my children do. I am their cheerleader. I'm their coach. I am their groupie, I'm their fan, all of the above. So when I got that call, they were in jail, I immediately went to the school board and I immediately took action. And he got that turned all the way around. They're back in school. And everything worked out. But had I not been an active parent, had I not been, had I not been had a flexible schedule to accommodate them, I mean, I don't know. And they're concerned for a lot of other parents. After they work full time jobs, making a living for their kids, and the system just washed their hands of them and just put them on a back burner. I don't think that's fair. And I just also became informed that Metro students do not do in-school suspension, which I thought that was bizarre. There's a lot of things that Metro students change since I was a child in Metro students. They don't get exercise every day. I mean, what child wants to sit in a classroom for 8 hours without exception, 5 days a week? These kids, some of them, you know, have ADHD, ADD. They have you fill all the paperwork out, but no one's taking the time to read the paperwork on the child, because that's another issue I went into with my child. One of my children was improperly expelled. My child has an IEP. They didn't even know that. No one ever even took the time to read on my child. They just saw my child reacting to something that was already happening and just immediately labelized my children. And I said, no. So that's something that needs to be done. When we send these packets home on first day of school, and these parents are taking an hour and a half to fill all the paperwork out on their children, we need someone to read up on these kids and actually understand your children and understand everything about them.
What's in the fact that you read?
Because there's no one child alike.
Right. That's the truth. Well, wow. Okay, we're joined by Peoria, Illinois, 8112. Welcome to Talk Straight. Our topic tonight, the natural voice of authority for children. Question or comment thus far?
No, but how is everyone doing tonight?
Great, great. Thanks for coming. We affectionately call her Mama D.
Mama D.
She's been on with us for great. This is our hey.
Hey there.
8112.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just speaking to everyone.
Okay, great. Yeah. We're on with Ms. McCullough tonight, 8112. She is a parent, and she's working with our organization, BFC Missions Incorporated, to do parent awareness. And we want to empower parents to know about resources, opportunities, and things that they can benefit from. And one of those things that we'll talk about a little bit tonight is right now Metro Schools is going through their choice option piece for traditional schools, for charter schools, magnet schools. But there's a new option as well this year, brand new this year, that will be rolling out called educational savings account, where parents can benefit from other services. We're going to give out that website. I'll just mention it now. You go to tcntn.org. That's tcntn.org. You can find a great deal more about it and find out if you qualify for service. Because
that sounds like a beautiful
parents
idea.
Parents need to know everything. Parents need to be aware of all options available and not feel restricted, you know. Because as you were pointing out, there are a lot of things that come at them, and they may not fully understand everything that's written down on paper. That's no way to spike anyone's intelligence. But the truth of the matter is, you know, at the beginning of the year in particular, you're fun bottle with a whole. I was a parent myself. My children are grown now, but I can remember. You want to comment on that, 8112?
First day for kids' school when mine was all growing up was torture to me. Like you said, you was bombarded with papers. You got to meet new teachers, everything. It's as hard on the parent as it is for the kids. Some of them are, you know, that transition. It could be a beautiful thing, or it could be one of the worst days in your little life. So,
right.
I think that's a beautiful thing what you guys are trying to do.
Sure. Well, you know, I want to go back to something Ms. McCullough said, and she said that when you become a parent, certainly for the first time, it can be a frightening proposition. I can remember when my first child was born, and both my wife and I had never been parents before, and it was a new thing for us.
Exactly.
And we were concerned, are you going to hold it the wrong way? Will you drop it? Will you squeeze it? I mean,
yes,
so those are real questions.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, 12. I'm sorry. Go ahead, 12.
You are correct. Yes, it is. If it cough, you run to the doctor a few minutes, they had tell you stop.
Right. They cut themselves
or bleed to death, and you got to learn. And it takes time, you know, first time is a doer.
Sure.
Nobody came with the instructions on how to parent their children, so.
That's what Ms. McCullough said. You all went to PR, Illinois. She said the same thing in Nashville. So you ain't tell me. So what y'all trying to tell me is that there is no manual. There's no way I can go and I can't Google that. YouTube can tell you anything.
You can Google.
Huh?
They proclaim you can Google everything. They proclaim you can Google it. Does that make it so? Because a lot of people have different come from different cultures. They believe different ways of raising their kids. And everybody thinks that it all planned out. And as soon as you get slapped in the face with one thing, then you say, oh, man, nobody told me that, you know.
Here we go.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's
so,
time.
All right. So Selma, I know you.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about that? How easy is it for male and female as a parent when you really want to do the right thing and you're concerned that you may be slipping up a little? How important is it there for you to be able to know where you can go get the answers? Usually we say we go to the church, you know. The Bible got the answer. Is that always that easy?
No, sir, Mr. Darkrey.
No, it's not. Usually you go to your
parents.
Did I interrupt him? I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'll come right back to you there, 12. Go ahead, 8474. Go ahead, Don.
Mr. Darkrey, you remember this morning what me and you was talking about, and a lot of joy is in my heart because of that. You know, I want you to listen, audience, to listen to me. I can remember going to Charlotte, Tennessee Elementary School up there in Dixon County. We just integrated. And Mr. Darkrey, you know that book, Selma 65? I saw that in the library as I grew up as a boy. But guess what? I didn't know what that book was about.
Okay.
I used to see that book. And then now since I've been to Selma, I'm going to tell y'all something. It's real deep. Since I've been to Selma, Selma University, experienced the neighborhood, and you look at our history and our ethnic background, it's like it's deep because, to me, education, the way I look at it now, Mr. Darkrey, that's a war. You got other ethnic groups. You know, like the Federal Reserve came in 1913. Well, you know, being here in Selma, I want y'all to know something. Being here in Selma, they had a banking system here, and it started 1890. And it failed 1915. But the Federal Reserve came in 1913. So you see, education to me, for our children, it's like a war. You know what I'm saying? Because they are trying to misinform us through movies, drugs, alcohol, every kind of way by which you don't educate your child in a spiritual, positive way. That's what I see right now. And I'm listening to y'all, but you know what I'm saying? It's deep. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So, Don, I think what you're saying will underscore the tremendous importance, knowing that there are these negative influences out there in society, right, in the world. We've played that song by the Whispers, I believe it was, Olivia. She was trying to find her way to grandma's house. Got lost, right? And so it underscores the importance for parents, though, to know, have a plan. Would you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Have a plan for 24 hours a day where you expect your children to be. And whenever you see things not lined up with that, you know that's a red flag, right? So what has happened is over time, particularly in certain neighborhoods, it has become normalized for people, for children, to be out after curfew. Now, I don't care whether a child got a banana or a pistol in their hand. If they're out at 12 o'clock midnight, there's something wrong with that. That's unacceptable, right? Everybody should be alarmed, right? Enough to say, hey, we got a problem. And so collectively, when we have that mindset, it seems to me that it will make a whole difference. We're joined by a caller from, looks like, St. Louis, Missouri, 4644. And tonight we're live streaming from a public library at the Bordeaux Public Library, and we're focusing our attention this month on education and educating young people, but specifically we're talking about the natural voice of authority for children. St. Louis, welcome to our discussion tonight. Question or comment thus far?
Well, I guess you have a hard time finding a seat so many kids in that library right about now, huh?
Say that again now.
I say, I guess you have a hard time finding a seat due to so many young people in the library reading and doing things what libraries are made for, right?
Okay. No, we don't. No, we don't, to be frank with you. And so that's a relevant conversation because the public library is funded by public dollars, your taxpaying dollars, and there's more that parents can do to avail themselves to resources like the public library. So I think you raise a interesting question.
Yeah.
You want to extend on that?
A side note. But, you know, Dockery, the authoritative voice in a home should be that father.
Okay.
I mean, there's no alternative. It should be the father. When you look through civilization throughout the history of mankind, that's the way it has been. And when you try to alter from things, no matter what the circumstance, the outcome just is not what you would anticipate it to be or desired.
I see. You know, St. Louis, that's an interesting point you raised. My mom and I, rest her soul, we had a conversation some years ago, and we were talking about the fact that she and my dad had separated. And for a period of time in our lives, we grew up without, we've always been able in contact with him. I can always reach him, but he was not under the roof. And so I said to her, I realized that you didn't wake up one day and say, I think I want to be a single parent. I think I want to raise 12 children by myself or in the home by myself. But there were some mitigating circumstances. And that's a point well taken, St. Louis, and I think it was raised earlier, the importance of revitalizing the family structure. And will you speak to that a little bit, St. Louis, how important that is to become a root, to get to the root cause of many of these problems? Yeah.
Well, I was talking with some people about a week ago.
Okay.
And when you look at certain segments of black society in America, we said that they're about 60 years behind the norm. You know, and say the same thing about certain African countries. They're about 120 years behind. And the reason is because it takes certain things has to be put in place in order for a family to be totally successful, but even a society. And one thing is the family. And you have to create that intergenerational wealth, which is elders, grandparents. All that are major components of what it is that you hope for to achieve. And when you don't have that, it's you have these problems.
Okay. I think there's something to that position. I wonder, though, when it seems like you start off behind the eight ball, you live in a poor neighborhood, chances are you attend a poorly performing school, so you get a poor education. You either drop out or go to school 12 years, still can't read and write, and you're forced to accept a poor job or hustle in the street. And it just seems like you can't win for losing. You know what I mean? Even when I'm winning, I'm losing. That's a tough situation. What about that, Pastor Wallace?
Even when you're winning, you're losing. That is a tough situation.
That's a rough proposition, man.
I've been in a situation like that for most of my life. You know, the first half of my life, I was living that. You know, it's called living a lie. Don't even know that you've been lied to. And that was for me. You know, it was a personal thing when I came into the truth, and I knew I was able to get free from the lie that I was told, and actually sold. It was sold to me. And you know, it's very interesting to know. I think 8112 said something, and I was still right there with that thought when she said, you know, there's no way that you can say, I came into the world knowing how to raise a baby. In other words, you can go to the store and buy a dog, and you can go through all the formats about how to change the baby's diaper, get a baby the little plastic bottle. You can do all those things. But when it comes down to the real deal, that's when it's time to identify yourself, whether that person is going to school, and then you're talking about the school teacher don't want to be interrupted, so they say, well, let's get this baby some medicine, because there must be something wrong with this baby. So you got a lot of things you have to deal with. You know, so discipline, I think you're talking about train up a child in the way they should go. When they are of age, they would not, in other words, stray away too far. They'd be able to come back to the real, original way of living, following instructions and things like that. You know, it's so much that has to do with coming to oneself, you know. I'm not going to get too far out there, but you know how that word that says about that man who decided that he'd probably been up under his parents' care for so long, he was ready to just venture out. You know, and once he ventured out, he discovered something. And then when he came to himself, he said, my goodness, I don't want to live like that no longer. But how many times does that happen? You know, they got the prisons. They got a lot of things, you know, in the streets that would draw people into the world's way of doing things. That's what I'm talking about now, about the lie. And so being an innocent kid growing up, you want to follow the instructions of your parents, even if they don't go to church. Because that parent is responsible for the person, whether they attend church or not. They didn't go to the church and say, well, I'm getting ready to get together with someone and have a baby. They don't go to the church and make known of that, I don't think. So sometimes it just happens without a person even planning to do that. And then suddenly when the child is here, sometimes the person who impregnated the woman will leave. Or the woman may decide that she want to get with somebody, whichever way it is. Is it easy? That would be my question. When the parents separate for whatever the reason is, and you're still trying to have a relationship to bring this child up, but you raise the child one way or when you get over there. And you, so how do you deal with it when the baby get on the other side over there? So it seems like it can be done, but is it easy? That's what I'm going back to. Or actually, is it hard? Which one would you want to take it in?
You raise a great question, sir, and it brings us back to a conversation we've had on Talk Straight previously, and that is germane to the importance of finding individuals or families that have met success. And what do you mean by success, Dr.? Well, I simply mean their children never had a situation where they would wind up in jail or in trouble, if you will, and things. What is it that they're doing that can be shared with the greater community, right? And even those parents who don't know, it doesn't make you a bad person not to know, but when you refuse to want to find out, then we have a problem because it's impossible for you to grow. And really, once you become a parent, it's not so much about us anymore. It's about what's best for our children, right? And there are some success models out there. So it seems to me that it would be helpful to seek out individuals who have, there are many cases where African-American families, their children have been successful. They've avoided the criminal justice system. They've avoided starting a paper trail on them, even at a young age. We talked the other night about how a lot of children, they start a paper trail on them when they're in first, second, sometimes kindergarten. Mm-hmm. There were cases where police officers come into a school and arrested a six-year-old, put them in handcuffs, you know. How can we avoid those type of things? And I believe that if when we talk about the natural voice of authority for children, that's your parents. And St. Louis, I want to piggyback to your point that you've got to focus on what is that structure of the family that provides it. Now, the truth of the matter is we do have a lot of, we just look at the data, single parent hit at home, single parent female hit at home. There are single parent dads, but more females than dads. What can we say to support them, and what advice can we give? What best practices are out there? What do you think about that, 12? You think that would be helpful if we pull together as a community to do those types of things?
Well, to me, when someone's starting out, even though if they're not married, at least they may have a somewhat of some help if they were married. However, things don't always happen like that. So for
that's
the one
true.
In a single family household with only their mother as their guide. For the parents mm-hmm. that are still doing so by themselves for their children, the most you can do is raise them up to be the best them and tell them, be the best you can be. Show them the way and hope they don't go astray, because even at your best, sometimes it just ain't good enough.
Mm.
And yes, it is.
You know,
it is very hard
for
a lot of urban parents or parents trying to upbring their kids. I got blessed. I always had God in my life. But everybody doesn't have that. You know, everybody doesn't have that guidance that was instilled in me from a child. So to me, when you have a child and you don't know what to do, either you go to your parents if they're there, which would be the child's grandparent.
Okay.
I had siblings, I had my mom, I had, you know, different ones can step in. It doesn't always have to be the one that gave birth to you or helped make you to help raise you. It could be a neighbor kid you could see falling short. Like you said, what child has any business out at 12 o'clock at night?
Right.
None.
You raise an interesting point there, 8112. And Carol McAdoo would agree with you that the extended family becomes essential then in building a support base with the extended family. You know, and the truth of the matter is that culturally, over the last 40 or 50 years, that fabric has even weakened or disappeared. In terms of not only the nuclear family, but the extended family. What do you think about that, St. Louis, in terms of the challenge in 2020 for even the extended family, to be a support base for children and their families?
Well, that's what you call dysfunction in families.
Okay.
I mean, you have to call it what it really is. It's dysfunction.
Call it what it is.
All right. Have you ever seen that picture of two black men, one's at the top of the wall reaching down, and the other is at the bottom of the wall reaching up?
Mm-hmm.
You seen that picture?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
How do you interpret that picture?
Well, that's an interesting thought. I met the artist from, I think he's in Atlanta now, and he has a big shop there. He has a number of pictures like that. And what he said is that it was intended to give the idea that you have different generations or different thoughts that are distant from one another and struggling to connect with one another. That's just one interpretation. But what do you think?
Well, I heard some people saying that that's the man on top trying to pull the man on the bottom up. I disagree. I say it's the man on the bottom trying to pull the man back down into the abyss on top.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Trying
well,
to keep him from getting away.
Okay.
But the reality is that is exactly what you have in these school systems. You can't say you don't.
Okay.
I would give example after example that that's what you have. They don't want you have a scheme where they make money off of the academic failure of these young people, especially in the black community. And that's a shame. They don't want to let them go, because if they let them go, they realize the problems that they have. They're going to leave this bad experience and go someplace else, those that have the audacity to do so. So all the things you're talking about on the far end, you're talking about grandparents. But grandparents themselves at one time was children. And for them to be effective grandparents, where they can offer resources of whether knowledge and also monetary resources, they had to go through the process correctly on their childhood.
Okay.
You have to direct children into areas where they're going to reap the best return. One of the data marks on black society is that you have an over representation of black professionals in the fields of intellect and caring and administrative. About 20-some-odd percent, 20.2%. Well, those fields don't pay much money.
Okay.
So if you are not being able to extract the best out of this U.S. system, then you're always going to be in a precarious position of compromise. You're going to compromise when it comes to your young people. You're going to compromise when you come to yourself. That's the reality.
Let me ask my guest here next to me. Would you compromise the best interest of your children just because you're short on dollars?
I think, honestly, with education, this new generation, education has become, within a finger reach. Within the last 40 to 60 years ago, it was a whole different set of education. We didn't have Wi-Fi. We didn't have DNA. Genetic. We didn't have Instagram,
right?
You know, Snapchat and TikTok.
YouTube.
You didn't, email your resume,
right.
That. You actually wrote your resume down.
So you think there's a technological damage or
These generations, these are more advanced. You know, they are not uneducated. They are very educated. If you look at the statistics. The younger generation knows more about internet and know how to they basically know how to balance a checkbook. They have debit cards. Now it's 12, 13 years old. It's a whole lot of it's a game changer. We change with the technology, but we have to change with the generation, in my opinion. With the Southern hospitality. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
So Nashville, Tennessee. I'm born, raised. This is the South. I'm from the South.
You're from the Bill, then.
Yeah. But I have family in Montgomery, Alabama. I have family in Louisiana, New Orleans. I have family deep in the South.
Okay.
So I was born, and I was fortunate enough to have a whole village to raise me. And I was taught to respect the whole village, because it does take a village to raise a child. And it does not matter whether you are related or not. To learn some from your enemies, and I can talk to you as well. But education, I will say this. Now, the norm is, you can drop out, you can get your GED.
That's
so,
true.
the kids are having this option of I can just drop out and get a GED.
You better say that.
Then their child feel like, oh, I'm wasting time. And then if you have this child being programmed on all these high-tech devices, and seeing this girl taking her clothes off for $5,000.
Yeah, you're right.
So you're making a... Who was that? Was that you, Don?
Yeah, Mr. Dockery. When you asked St. Louis a question, time is going by, but when he asked you about Bardo a while ago, I remember when there wasn't no Bardo. Out there where you at in that library?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So when you and then, Mr. Dockery, y'all brought up the point about money. When we came up back in, man, it was like a fur going to a basket down at a church. It was, and we were economically doing good.
But
it wasn't just about money;
Don,
it was about us being together in love.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's her point, though. That the challenge for many parents is to keep up with that voice of social media, pop culture, and all of these other external influences that the children are exposed to. And I got another call here I'm going to introduce in just a second. But I would just maybe I pose this to the whole group here. Is that a challenge parents should allow themselves, or competition they should accept? That you're going to accept competition from everybody else's influence over yours as a parent? Give me 1 second. Let's come back to that question, though. We're joined by 4899 out of Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, the natural voice of authority for children. Question or comment thus far?
Well, I just want to, first of all, applaud you, Reverend Dockery, for your activism in this conversation about education, because I think, and I also know from having an extensive background in education as well as being a former classroom teacher, that we have had a lot of voices in the dialogue about what are best practices for our students and for our communities, but not enough action. So I just really appreciate the step that you're taking and the challenges that you're facing and the way in which you're approaching it, being very strategic and getting this information out to the masses. But I think what I was able to pick up on in terms of all of the technological advances that we have now, you know, with just children being really tech savvy and knowing how to navigate through a whole lot of different mediums, whether it's social media, whether it's through phones, et cetera. What we are obviously seeing is a decline in the way in which children, as well as adults, are being able to communicate with one another. And when you lose that effective communication practice, that's where you lose the community. You lose the community when you lose that effective communication practice. So what more can we expect for our children not to be able to be responsive in the way that we would like them to? They have lost all respect for authority because they don't know how to effectively communicate, and that is a practice that's not being appropriately, in my opinion, being passed down effectively. So, you know, at some point we have to disengage in a lot of the talking and being more proactive, if that means starting within your own family and being that support, and then taking that a step further and then reaching out into the community and being an advocate for our own children and our own people, then that's just the manner in which we have to go. But, you know, until then, I think, you know, we can talk about, you know, yesteryear and how things were done. And don't get me wrong, because I am very grateful for the upbringing that I have had, and I'm very grateful for those folks in my family, including my parents, aunts, uncles, et cetera, who set an example for me. And I realize at this point that a lot of folks haven't had that. But in the midst of it all, I know I've done my part and will continue to do my part, and I know that there are people in our community that are continuously upholding the banner for cultural change, but we have to be realistic and look at what we can change within our reach and do that now, and not be stuck on negative experiences and move forward. And I think, you know, to go back to what I first said, I really applaud you in taking this step, because that is an act and a move forward.
Well, thank you. Ms. McCullough wanted to say something or respond to you, something you said.
I told my brother, I did all that. That was well said. I agree with you about the, you know, the communication, the lack of communication used to be devices. I mean, we have a commercial now that we have a family sitting at the dinner table, and the dad is barely listening to what the mom's saying. And the child has to remind them to put his device in the bag.
Wow.
You know. So that's the type of world that we live in. However, for the education-wise, what I would like to change as a parent is the regular curriculum. We need to advance our curriculum. We need to engage to these children and teach them how to build the software, how to be a software developer. We need to teach them how to code. We need to teach them how can you make your own Facebook? How can we make our own Instagram? You know, we need to teach them how to market, and we also need to teach them entrepreneurship. And I feel Metro Student fails them in that. And I feel the education is showing them how to be more of a consumer, and how to consume, and how to create debt instead of building a legacy and building a foundation.
Business.
So, I think that's what we need to change academically.
Wow. You know, and we're tonight we're on modified schedule. We normally go 2 hours, but we're on live broadcast here in Board of Public Life. We'll be back here Tuesday, same time, same place. And we hope to have a larger group here in the room with us. And for you to continue to follow us on Facebook, let me take this moment, because we have about 30 minutes before we wrap up tonight. I want to encourage you, Facebook listeners here in Nashville in particular, and those of you who are listening as well, feel free to do so. Go to tcntn.org. That's Parent Choice Network, Tennessee. tcntn.org. And you'll be able to see some of the relevant information. We are providing not only choice for traditional schools, for your charter schools, your home schools, but we want to educate and empower you about this new option for educational savings account, which allow parents to use that as well for options of private schools as well as tutorial services, things of that nature. And we don't want to get caught up in the political argument about things. We want to empower parents. It's your choice, not the fat head guy that's sitting here before you tonight. I won't say anything about this little lady to my right. But it's your choice to make that difference, right? You have the power as a parent to determine what's best for your child. Like what you said, that we have to make sure that whatever is not being taught, we can find a place to teach not only the content material in terms of the curriculum identified by the state, but as well as the social and character development that's necessary to reach our children. Let me just for a second, we're going to take a brief pause here. Langston Hughes wrote a poem where a mother was talking to her son. And just for a second, we'll come back on the other side of it and wrap up our conversation for tonight. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Pastor Ricky Wallace, with us as well, our co-host. And we have our special guest here tonight, Ms. McCullough, who's joined us as on us on live here. And we're talking from the topic, the natural voice of authority for children. Just for a second, we'll be right back.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching laddens and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
And we come right back to the phone lines here. We're grateful for your participation tonight in this modified Talk Straight episode. Out of Peoria, Illinois, we got 8112, a.k.a. Mama B. Out of Selma, Alabama, online with us is our good friend, Brother Don. And we have Pastor Ricky Wall as well. And we also have a caller from Nashville, 4899. We're going to figure out a name for her if she should call back again. But we're grateful for all of you to join us tonight. So as we wrap up these last about 20 minutes of the show, I want to talk a little bit more about the power of choice and the power of information. The more you know, the more you can do and you can exact for yourself. But what happens too often is good people find themselves not able to take advantage of opportunities because they don't know they're there or they don't know how to access them. Part of what Building Families and Communities is doing in partnership with American Federation for Children, Tennessee office here, is we're educating parents. And we want you to make the choice. You may decide that, hey, my child is doing okay. I just need a little help for what they're doing in the traditional school. Great. You may decide that I like some of the models of the charter schools. That's great. You may even decide that, hey, I'm ready to homeschool my children. That's another choice option of yours, and that's great. But then, tonight we are also sharing with you, we're beginning to share more about educational savings accounts and how they may be a benefit to you as well. So with that, we'll go back to the phone lines. 8112, let me ask you this. It seems like we all agree that at the end of the day, three things need to be looked at. We need to look at our family structure. We need to make sure that parents have, the knowledge, and resources necessary to provide for their children. And lastly, it is very important that we not allow the influences of society to override us. What do you think about that, 12? Have I encapsulated what we've been talking about very well?
Very well, sir. I agree, because once they put capitalization on them, it becomes a problem. And the problem lies within, you got too many people teaching your children different things.
Okay.
And that's confusing. Okay. That could be very, confusing to a child's mind.
Right.
So I think what you're offering is very good, because all people's parent or parent doesn't necessarily mean they know exactly what they're doing or trying to do.
Okay.
Especially when the kids reaches the age to go to school, they got someone there for 8 hours of the day teaching them different things.
That's
so true. When they're at home and you're not at home, In some cases, it happens like that. The streets are teaching something different.
Watch out now. Watch out now. Yeah, they will. They'll be glad you want them.
Out from under your wing, they will nurture them only for long enough to corrupt them.
Wow.
So it's hard. You gotta put them arms around them and wrap them real hard. And then they falling short these days. And the parents, some of the parents, maybe we all do the best we can with what we got. I mean, most of us, that's what we should do, however. I don't care if it's one or two people in the house. It could be just as divided with both parents if they living in misery. It reflects on the children, and it happens in many homes with both parents in every day, as well as the ones with just their mom. Some of them are better off. One helps the other.
Doctor.
Go ahead, St. Louis, right quickly.
Why would you let your daughter marry into an environment that's worse than where she's coming from at home?
Anyone to marry anyone, as far as I know, these days it's all good. And if you choose to, you get to choose and pick these days who you choose to marry.
You don't let your child go into an environment that's worse than the one that she's used to. Your child will never know what to look for. Your daughter will never know what to look for in a husband if she's never seen it played out between the mother and the father.
Okay. Well, I didn't say because they live.
I'm not talking to you. Now that is the way that's the reality.
Okay.
I wouldn't let anybody. And now I'm talking about myself. Just didn't anybody teach my children?
Understood.
Not only in academics. You know, my grandson plays baseball. I didn't let anybody coach him.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
And when he got to a certain point, I passed it on to somebody else that I knew was okay. But why would you let somebody who doesn't align with your interest teach your children? Wasn't no openly gays going to teach my children? It wasn't going to do it.
I see what you're saying.
Let me tell you something else, too. What goes on in those traditional public schools, the curriculum in many states, your state legislature, your state statute give the authority of whatever that curriculum is. It's up to the people of that community working through the board. They give the directions to the teachers. They give the directions to the teachers, the administrators, and the superintendents. And if they don't do like you want, you get rid of them. And I have seen that happen. So...
Right.
And I like, and you're talking about choice. You're absolutely right. I think choice is the last frontier. And if we're talking about blacks, if you don't start seeing the information in the data that shows that where blacks, African Americans, who makes up 11 to 13% of the population in the United States, that should be reflected in many of the professionals and industries that they are participating in, including businesses.
Okay.
You should have at least 13% of the doctors and surgeons, rather than the present 5 or 6%.
We talking about.
Well, it sounds like we got some work to do there. Let me.
You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, your point is well taken. I want to go to Nashville. A caller from Nashville. And relate this to Nashville. So, Carla, you mentioned that you taught in metro schools and that you are a professional educator yourself. What would you say is a thing that right away parents right now, and we're about the choice option is about to open up in Nashville, parents to choose. What would you encourage parents to look for in this process?
Well, primarily to just stay tuned to the work that you're doing. Subscribe online to Parent Choice Network.
Okay.
Online to Facebook to stay abreast of what type of activities are happening to educate them.
Right.
Because, you know, awareness is the key in knowing that. Also, I think just keeping in mind the opportunities that are being given to this particular benefit that they would receive. You know, it's not just geared towards necessary school options, but also tutorial services. And that's an area that I don't think is reinforced enough in our community. There are, you know, independent consultants who provide tutoring and things of that nature that could greatly benefit from this funding.
Wow.
But also the practice of giving your children that extra support. You know, you can't just rely on the classroom teacher to provide everything. And we know with
That's
the
true.
Way things are with families having to overextend themselves, working extra hours, you may not be able physically to provide your child with the academic support at home. So it's very, very imperative to find outside resources that have qualified staff, that have the information available to impart on young minds to help them be competitive in this world. Because, you know, as it was mentioned earlier, yes, we do need to provide more opportunities in our STEM and STEAM education with, you know, coding and engineering. But in order to get to that next level, they have to know how to test well. We have to teach our children how to be critical thinkers, how to think on those higher order thinking skills, to know how to answer questions, to know how to be able to navigate through these extensive tests like the SAT and ACT, and be able to be completely and overtly literate and meet the standard that we need them to meet in order to compete with their other counterparts who have been tutored for years and years, who have been able and been privy to certain resources for all their lives. So we've got to get on board with that piece.
Okay.
As well.
Wow. Well said. And with that, I want to encourage you again to go to PCNTN.org. That's PCNTN.org. If you're a parent and you have children from K through 11th grade and you're looking for some options, some opportunities, as she said, tutorial services, and you want to learn more about it, check that blog page out and communicate with us. There's a link for Facebook. Join the Facebook group, the Parent Choice Network Facebook group. And we'll keep you abreast, and we'll keep you informed about where we are. And things. I want to thank Ms. McCullum for joining us tonight and being a part, and each of you. It looks like we have a caller from Nashville, 0390. I just want to squeeze you in right quick. We've got about 10 minutes before we wrap up tonight. We're on a modified schedule. We usually go 2 hours, but because we're doing this tour around Nashville on Tuesday nights, and we're doing some Thursdays, but we're modifying our schedule. 0390, in Nashville. Question or comment right quickly?
So I pretty much, when I heard you say, Dr. Rubin, about choices, I understand, I definitely understand what you're saying as far as when you say choices, but I have to, you know, continue to, you know, I like to start from the root of the problem, okay, and then try to, like, how can we reschedule our minds? When I say reschedule our minds, how can we say in our minds, boom, how can we, and instead of being taught through someone else's system, why can't we self-educate not only ourselves but our children?
I don't mean to cut you off. Are you advocating for us to start our own school? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, why not? I mean, you know, when you really just think about it, some of the greatest entrepreneurs were people that have the actual same skin tone as us. As far as names, I don't want to go through that. But all the way from from car inventors, if it wasn't for us with cars
yes,
wouldn't be here. We're talking about the street lights. If it wasn't for us, that wouldn't be schools. We're the ones that discovered learning, the whole learning process. But once again, I think it's a situation of we just need to retrain our thoughts and our teachings as far as how we and as far as what we teach ourselves and our children.
I take your point. I think you have a good point, and you may be pleasantly surprised to hear that I agree with you 159.6%. We should start our own schools, and you can get it right there for sure. But it really starts with the power of the parent and choosing for themselves where their education is. We're going to do an episode where we think about the history of public education in America. And I think you might be well-informed to understand how this came to be and where everybody fit in, that whole puzzle of that. But we're going to be doing this again on next Tuesday right here at Bordeaux Public Library, and we're going to start at 6 o'clock and go to 7:30 again. And we have about 8 and a half minutes, so I just want to give everyone that's online with us a chance to wrap up their thought. And but let me just say this again. I want to encourage you again to go to tcntn.org. Well, what is that, Doctor? Well, that is the blog page where you can get more information about what we're talking about. Our focus, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're in the process now in Davidson County where they're rolling out parent choice options in metro schools to include the traditional public schools. That includes magnet charter schools, as well as we want to talk to you about homeschool options and this new thing, this year, educational savings account and how you might take advantage of that. So I encourage you to go to pcntn.org. Building Families and Communities, our nonprofit, is working in tandem and concert with American Federation for Children to provide that education, not telling you where to go, but telling you you have options, you have choice. And that is the real natural voice authority for the children that are yours. I was saying this, and just give me just for a second, guys. We'll come on to all of you. I was talking to the team earlier about the news. Every day my wife and I wake up in the morning as early as 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. We hear these stories repeatedly of our young people, the devil getting 2-for-1. And I'm tired of being mad about it. I'm tired of being sad about it. I like what the caller from Nashville said. It's about doing something about it. And nobody at the end is going to be mad but the devil. And guess what? I don't care if it's fat head, greasy, bubble-eyed self get mad or not. That don't matter. So with that being said, let me take these last few minutes to give everyone a chance. Thank you, St. Louis, and thank you, Peoria, Illinois, Thelma, Alabama. Thank you here, Nashville. A final word there, 8112. Okay. All right. Well, let's keep on moving. Yes. What about it, St. Louis? The final thought there. Thanks for joining us.
Well, that it was an organization that was ran by Mr. Fuller, Howard Fuller out of Milwaukee, called BAO, Black American Educational Options. It was around for a long time. They helped to start and fund movements around the country that develop into what you call choice. But they, I don't think they don't exist anymore. But that's a good, what you're doing is a good thing. I'll tell you something how you can be more effective is offer evaluations, assessment of children. Because those report cards lie. So have a service that evaluates that child, and if that child is not performing at the level that that report card says, then that school district should be responsible for paying whatever it takes for that parent to provide that child with the extra activities that it need in order to bring it up to level. And that's a good service, because that's something that needs to be done anyway. Also, teach parents how to look at occupational trends, so that you can start steering your children into high-paying fields rather than being overrepresented in low-paying majors.
Okay. Well, thank you, man. I hate to cut you off, but we got a few more people to get to. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Appreciate your participation tonight. All right. Let's go with 8474 out of Selma. Final thought there?
I'm going to say this to you, Mr. Doctor. When you called and told me this, what you told me this morning, last night I woke up about 2 o'clock, and I hit my G Maps last night on my phone, and I looked at Itabena, and I was looking at Mississippi Valley State, and I was thinking about my grandfather, and I was thinking about my dad as I was looking at that campus. And the only thing I'm going to say, God's in the – he does his work, and so – keep up the good work, and it is about education. I love you all.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate you joining us here tonight. All right. What about it, right quickly, 0390? Final clause, about 30 seconds there. Will the clock run out?
Well, all I have to say, if nobody else tells us on this line right now, because one of the biggest things that we fail to understand, we all have differences of opinions. We must still get along regardless to how we think. That's one. Number two, I love y'all. It's nothing you can do about it. And I am not taking it back. Number three,
all right.
my final one. Put God first and don't even think about the devil. I'm done.
All right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you, man. All right. Well, go ahead, Nashville, 4899, right quickly. And we'll turn it over to Pastor Wallace for final.
I'll just reiterate, thank you again, Reverend Dr. Dockery, for all of your hard work, and I will look forward to seeing what's to come this year with all of your efforts and endeavors, and blessings to everybody on the line.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you there. All right, Pastor Waller, with that, we got about 2 minutes here, man. Wrap us up and send us home.
Man, it's been great to hear all the people who had something to offer. And for those who just was able to just listen, you know, the Word of God is a strong portion of what we stand in the need of. And I'm sure that if we allow Him to do for us what we are unable to do for ourselves, that would be great. I would love to be able to extend just a briefing of what it's like to say, where there's two or three gathered together in His name, touching and agreeing, then the Word of God said that He would be in the midst of us.
All right.
He says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, there is power when we get to know Him and let Him guide us in the direction in which will be pleasing to Him. And one more thing, if you don't mind, because I believe that this is an opportunity to encourage you to continue to press on, doing just what you're doing right now at the pace that you're going at. And God is going to reward you for your faithfulness.
All right.
And how do I know that?
Well,
I would say Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. So let's believe in what He said and follow His guide. I yield back to you, Doctor.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll be back next Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. on Talk Straight for another episode, but for this special broadcast on next Tuesday night right here at Bordeaux Public Library at 6 o'clock p.m. Join us, pctn.org. pctn.org is the blog page. Check us out there, and we'll see you Thursday night followed at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. This show is Reverend Dockery and Pastor Ricky Waller. Another episode.